When I first got notice, I didn't believe Denton Day. I said, you think there's a chance? I said, we got AWOD. I said, I don't believe it. This brother's down, man. I mean, he's down there doing his thing Monday through Friday in the Richmond area. He's on the weekends. He's burning it up. Lead off leg of the world class 4x100 radio relay we put on every weekend. And I go, there's no way you got him. And then I started thinking, for a man that is as excited about Daniels at quarterback, who better to have on the day that it's official that in burgundy and gold coming out of the blocks at quarterback will be his biggest hero, really guy that was pushing this the whole way, AWOD. Welcome, my brother. How are you?
Doc, thank you so much for having me, man. I love you listening to your show. Thank you for booking me.
Well, Denton Day is a genius behind all this. He makes it go. He deals with Sheehan 5 days a week, man. So that alone shows you his endurance. But loved listening to you after putting your eyes on it. It's been unanimous. Everybody that I listen to, that I respect, that has seen this, Scott Jackson came down from the 757, put eyes on it. Everybody says the same thing. It's the energy. It's so apparent that it's a different vibe than when the mortician and the group that was running it last year. And so, for you right now, what are your limits? I mean, expectations. And we're both into hype. We love it. We're crazy. We're junkies when it comes to this. But on a real tip, what are your eyes and what is your heart saying to you right now?
My eyes tell me that this is a roster here that has a lot of talent, and they respect the hell out of the coaching staff. And that goes a long way. That's how you get better. That's how you develop. And this is a second chance regime in my mind. And it's not just the coaching staff. There's a lot of players that feel like this is our second chance, maybe our last chance here in the National Football League. So I just love this group that's been brought together here. And I can say for the first time in a long time, I'm excited to watch the preseason because I think there's going to be a battle for all 53 guys on this roster because nobody is going to be given any spot on the depth chart. You have to earn it. And that's what's getting me so excited, Doc.
Is it one position?
Did I just hear him say competition?
He said competition.
I thought I heard him say that.
AWOD, is there one position in particular that you're like really focusing on saying, I think somebody is going to win themselves a spot this offseason, this preseason?
Yeah, so when I was at training camp, I was focused in on the wide receivers because I don't have that much confidence in this group. We love Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson. We want to believe that he can bounce back from a sophomore slump. Luke McCaffrey was drafted with a lot of excitement because of the last name on his jersey. And then me, I'm personally a Jamison Crowder fan. That doesn't really scare people across the league. And so I think that's one of the reasons they brought in Byron Pringle. And the guy that stood out to me, though, while I was at training camp is Big Z, Zacchaeus. Olamide Zacchaeus, he is a tinier guy, but I'm calling him Big Z because he plays big and quick and fast. And, man, when he gets the ball in his hands, he can make a play. And so my bold prediction of preseason is that he's going to make a roster spot on this team here. And with the depth chart, it's already looking pretty good for Big Z.
It's amazing how you and Denton came out of the blocks with the same area. Denton, an hour ago, mentioned his preference and concern about wide receiver.
Yeah.
My thoughts are that anybody in last place, I'm looking to flip damn near everything. So I'm looking for new blood because nobody has impressed me enough to have earned the right to be here until we start winning. But that's just my stance. So I hope both of you guys are right. What I'm concerned about and pleased is that Brandon Coleman, Cornelius Lucas have not gone down. Trent Scott or Wiley, they haven't been injured. Because as long as they're healthy, you got a chance to coach them up. You can't coach a man up if he's in the training room. And they all need to be coached up, because to me, that's the key to our success.
No, you're so right about that. I mean, the offensive line play was the worst part about the team last season, and it made Sam Howell look worse. It made it look like we couldn't run the ball. It made even the defense look worse, because we were going three and out, and they were tired getting thrown back onto the field. And so you hope that Tyler Biadasz can come in and shore up the center position. And Sam Cosmi's right there next to him, and Allegretti on the other side. But you're right about Brandon Coleman. I mean, that is the number one guy that we have to get right out of this year's draft outside of Jaden Daniels. If Brandon Coleman is your starting left tackle, then Adam Peters deserves a lot of credit, because all the haters out there, anyone that didn't like his draft, the only thing they pointed to was, well, he didn't get his left tackle. Well, maybe he did in Brandon Coleman. So in terms of the offensive line, I like what I've seen. I can't wait to watch them in preseason. But I am a little bit optimistic about this offensive line being improved from last season.
How do you feel about the group of running backs with the addition of Austin Ekeler, and hoping that Brian Robinson takes another positive step forward?
Yeah, the running backs, I was impressed by Jeremy McNichols at training camp. I kind of compared him to a J.D. McKissick light. I think we do need a third running back also, especially with how many guys go down now in the National Football League. But in terms of the starting two, I love Brian Robinson Jr. I do think that this could be a year in which he takes a big step forward in terms of the running game. Last year it was like, hey, he can catch the ball out of the backfield and make a guy miss. But can he run between the tackles and have an average yards per carry where it's like, hey, we can give it to him over and over again and keep moving the sticks? I think that's going to be important for him. And then Ekeler, it's to stay healthy. Because if Ekeler can stay healthy, you know he's a monster. You know he'll get into the end zone. And they should be a really good 1-2 punch there at running back.
Well, I'm picking Chris Rodriguez for my team.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude, I just think that don't sleep on him. But yeah. I think it's the best room on the team. I think Brian Robinson is a budding star. Ekeler, you mentioned it, healthy Pro Bowler. It's not even a question. He's a super talent. And if you like McNichols the way you mentioned it, that room, plus I think it's vital to our success that we're controlled by that room, because then we're controlling clock and we're field position. And with our punter,
yeah,
when you've got the best punter in the game, if we can just move chains and not turn the ball over, it gives you a chance. The pass formula is just too disastrous, too many sacks. You're going backwards. The only way to stay in the game, and I'm just saying all this in hopes that our defense looks nothing like it's looked in the past. That's all I'm saying.
In terms of Austin Ekeler, Doc, I think we're all going to be impressed about, like, he will do some of the things Antonio Gibson did, catch the ball out of the backfield, be a guy that can be a change of pace back for Brian Robinson, get some good yards. I think it's his experience that's going to make a huge difference in the huddle with Jaden Daniels. Hey, man, you know, it's third and short here. Make sure you go through your reads. I'm going to be open. It's the little details. I think Ekeler is going to really make a big difference. When I was at training camp, he wasn't just talking to the running backs. He was going over to the tight end, to the wide receivers who made a big play, teaching up the offensive line. He's got years of experience at a high level, successful teams. Maybe he hasn't won in the postseason, but Ekeler's been there before. He's been a part of teams that have won 10, 11 games. We haven't had that in Washington. And so I think he's going to do everything Gibson did on the field and even more off the field with his NFL IQ.
Hey, Watt, I was there on Sunday, and I was I was keeping an eye when they were doing some 11-on-11 stuff on Jamin Davis, and I was watching him, and right? When you were there, what did you see from him? Because what I saw was not a lot that boosted my confidence.
No, it didn't. I felt the same way that you felt, and probably Craig Hoffman. I know he made headlines saying he doesn't think he's going to make the team, and it felt like every reporter saw the same thing. You're looking at Jamin Davis, a guy that it doesn't look like the numbers are going to work out for him at linebacker or edge rusher. But here's what I will say is, talking with Coach Darrell Tapp, they believe in this transition for Jamin Davis. It's not going to be a one-day thing. It's going to be, hey, he's going to work through it in three preseason games, and they're going to give him a chance to pop. I'm not giving up hope yet, but it has not worked out right now. I wouldn't call it a failure yet, but I am looking forward to seeing him in the joint practices and then the preseason. If he can flash at times, then there's a chance for him to make this roster.
Yeah, I'm with you. I said this earlier with Denton Awad. I think this dude's like, they're hiding his deal. They're not going to show us him until Tampa, or he's gone. If he's here, then it's something that's like one of those laboratory things that's been kept under wraps. Because what DQ has done, they've been able to get quick twitch athletes to get after quarterbacks. And if he can pull that off scheme-wise, which we didn't have with the mortician, we had no pressure. We had all these number ones, but no pressure. And I think this guy, they're going to tap into something that allows him to do what he does best. That is run people down. And if I'm wrong about that, I'll stand up and say my bad. But I just cannot believe that this defensive group won't find a way to unleash the beast in this young man that was selected as high as he was.
They're certainly going to try.
Yeah. That's what I think. Could be wrong, but that's how I see it. It's now, Awad, I need to know this from a programming standpoint. Will you be in New York? I mean, are you going to be following the team? You got Sheehan access, or are you going to be like me and Denton?
I'm going to be staying here in Richmond and watching the team. I had a great time in training camp. Might try to make another trip for a day if possible. I'll be here watching on TV. And like I said earlier, this is the most excited for a preseason game I've been probably in 10 years, and it's because of Jaden, but it's because of all the other guys that we've got. It's a brand new team. It is. I mean, you don't even recognize the guys from last season.
You hear the excitement in his voice? I love Awad because it's real. It ain't fake. And I looked at it. Awad, I felt the same way. It's my 14th regime change. And so every bone in my body keeps going, don't get hurt again. Be careful because you've been out. But no, this is a free. It feels free. It looks right. It sounds the right way. Now they just got to execute it. Because we've been down so many different roads that ended up in disaster. But I just feel like this is going to be different. And so far, just on the injury report and lack thereof alone, is the best news I've heard out of training camp.
Yeah. I mean, Doc, did you see the motto Dan Quinn said, anybody, anywhere, anytime? I just can't even explain how much that got me fired up. I want to run through
like
a brick
wall
for
Michigan against everybody. Yeah, the world.
That has been the biggest weakness on this team for my lifetime, my entire lifetime. We could play really good, and then all of a sudden, we go to an environment that we don't feel comfortable in. Or it's Thursday night football, or it's primetime Sunday night, or it's a massacre on Monday night against Michael Vick. We get destroyed by teams because we never had this simple motto, anybody, anywhere, anytime. It sounds simple, but Dan Quinn believes in it, and he's used it to have success in Atlanta and in Dallas, and now he's bringing that awesomeness here to D.C., and that's what I felt at training camp. It was, hey, it doesn't matter. Anybody is here. Anybody can get it. It doesn't matter if you're fourth string or first string or second string. Anybody can get it anytime, anywhere, and I'm fired up.
Anybody can get it should be the team's motto. 10 wins this year, Awad?
Well, we're saying 7, but anything above that would keep me happy.
I'm good, brother. Hey, man, it won't be the same Saturday without you. I mean, we'll have to settle for a game, but I just get pumped up when I hear you. So it's all good, my brother. Keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Doc. I might have to call you Saturday morning. We'll do our own show.
Hey, man, I'm here. I'm always available for Awad. Always open.
Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Yep.
That's good stuff. I tell you what, how can you not be fired up when you got Awad? I mean, it's all good, man. I really, really enjoy it. And he's in that age group that has been deprived. It's like Zion. I mean, these dudes, they've been following this team on faith. But they haven't really had a chance to see it for real. The young folks say for real, for real. But it's encouraging. It really is. It really is. Yeah, Denton, that was a strong move. Awad, strong move. We're going to have Ronaldo Nehemiah, top of the hour. And if y'all know a little something about track and field and the NFL, this brother here, do you know how hard it is, Denton, to be a professional in one discipline?
Super hard.
Then to do it in two?
Legitimately, he's one of a kind.
This dude here is a freak. No, really, I mean, we're so lucky. I'm telling you, man. And because he gets it, I don't know how you explain. I mean, I just think the Olympic experience for most of 95% of us who don't have any idea what it's like to experience anytime we get that delivered to us, we're lucky. And so happy that this brother has a commitment to the DMV. Ronaldo is just priceless, because if you need something from him, this brother, like Walt Williams, we probably have some of the nicest superstars in the country, because they get it and they appreciate the support that they received, and they give it back, man, on demand. No problem. No problemo. Is there an event that you're circling as we, I know we're getting back to real life track and field and people running. I watched the 800. The 800 seems like the quarter to me. Everything just seems so speeded up, because they do it effortlessly.
A little bit more strategy.
The 880 used to be like the mile to me. And they run it like it's a 220. And you're a middle distance guy. So I just thought you were eating that up last night when they're running the 1500.
I do enjoy watching. Like, I like those middle distance races, the 800, the 1500, and even to an extent the 5K, because there is a lot of strategy in it. Whereas with the 100 and the 200, it's get there as fast as possible. Those middle distances, you can kind of maneuver yourself, block in, block out, all that sort of stuff to really utilize that to your advantage. So that's fun to watch. But we got the 200 today, Doc, and the women's side. I'm rooting to see Gabby Thomas bring home a gold medal.
That 200 coming off that curb, yeah. And this, yeah, I mean, it's that sprinting is just hard to explain what that feels like, especially if you're not don't have a great start. Our guys have been shown to be great finishers, but everybody's got something for it. But the 1500, man. And a lot of these guys, they're not even breathing hard after running sprinting two laps. And then finally, I saw one of the ladies, maybe it was one of the heats, they basically just, all of them collapsed. That's how I always envisioned what I'd be doing. And then the pole vault. The pole vault last night. And maybe, I don't know when it happened. I saw it last night. Brother from LSU. I guess his mother was born in Sweden. And so he represents Sweden. But he's an LSU Tiger. They live here. He set the mark, then went and reestablished the world record and went for it. And his father had built him one of those, I don't know what you call it. I've never known anybody have a makeshift pole vault pit in the backyard, but he did it. And they had this all documented. It was the coolest thing I've seen. They got this kid, man, running out of that stick. Stick looked, obviously it was longer than him, but bigger than him. He got it done. Then he high school, he was the champion. And his father, they makeshift pole vault pit. Now, let me assume you didn't have one of these in your backyard.
We couldn't even pole vault in my high school.
What?
Yeah, it was deemed too dangerous. You can't, I don't know, maybe it's changed now, but at least at Loudoun County High Schools in 2009 to 2013, you couldn't pole vault.
Well, this dude, check this one out. It'll be worth it for you to go back and take a look at this. And he comes back and his third try, he got it done. Man, I just, what these people are able to do with accuracy and precision, you know, all the discipline, you know, all the misses that it takes before you start making them, was just amazing. And then with the, you know, cut, when they put, draped the flag around them, can you imagine taking your victory lap with a flag around you and people chanting USA, USA, USA? You ever think about that while you're running?
I dreamed about it at one point in life, and then reality hit me in the mouth.
Wait a minute. I think you gave up on yourself too soon, Denton. Seriously.
Yeah, sometimes I think that too, and then I see guys like Noah Lyles run 9.8s, and I'm like, no, I didn't. I wasn't hitting that.
Well, you weren't a sprinter, were you?
I ran the 200.
Oh, the 200. Well, yeah, you were a sprinter then. Okay.
Yeah, now it's middle distance because my hamstrings can't hold up for that anymore.
Okay. Oh, right. So you were – okay. No, I guess I hadn't really digested a man running the 200 but not the 100.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. It took me a while to get up to top speed. Don't get it twisted, Doc. This vanilla body could move a little bit back in the day.
No, I got to believe that. You just won me over when you said 220. Wait, what? That's sprinter talk. Okay. No, I was already impressed. Now you're going in the Sheehan category. Does he know this?
I think so. I don't know. We don't talk about track a lot because there's not Olympics every year.
Right, and he can't bet on. Well, I guess he could. I'm sure he could. That's interesting. Track and field is probably, out of all the things we do, the least thing we talk about when it comes to sports, other than in an Olympic year or world championship year. We just don't do it a lot. And I guess we don't because the people don't bring it up as much. You know, it's not not brought up. I thought I mentioned to you that did you think it was okay or did you not give a crap because it's the Jets that the NFL has them playing 3 games in 10 days to start the season?
It's the Jets. They want that kind of attention and attraction. They're getting that kind of attention and attraction. I'm sure the back end of their schedule makes up for it.
Yeah, but how do we change the kickoff rules for safety and then put a team on the field for 3 games in 10 days? Is it just me, or do I just see a mixed message? There's no way in the world I can say to play 3 NFL games in 10 days is good for the body.
I think you're
good for the player.
I think where you're mistaken is thinking the NFL cares about safety. They care about money.
Okay. Well, when I say it, you know, it's just me always, but I love to hear others say it, what I'm thinking. And I sometimes wonder, am I the only person that can see through this? Who are you? And obviously, as a public, I'm saying this, but we're not complaining. We don't care. Jets fans, I haven't heard of one of them. And I do know a couple of Jets fans, to their credit. Shout out Lamont Jordan. 3 games in 10 days. I still don't think that's registered with people. 3 games in 10 days. When a man is, coming off the Achilles, he's fine. He's fine. But 10 days, and it doesn't seem to bother people whatsoever. I don't think we had one listener, one person. I'll check X to see if anybody's responded. I know G's not up yet, but once he wakes up, I think we're callous to it. We just go, okay, well, they're getting paid. Or do you think they're making enough money to where it doesn't matter? And that's wrong, too. That's wrong. Could be your baby out there covering kicks slammed, getting his head slammed into a wedge 3 times in 10 days in the NFL. Okay. All right. Then I rest my case. I think it's I think it's good as it could be, Brother Day. And I'll let it fly at that. Who of our Olympians will get a statue? Who comes out of these games? Or should I just say, other than Katie Ledecky, who's going to come out of these games as the ultimate winner? That's my question for you. 301-230-0980 is the number. You're on the Team 980 listener line. DOC and Double D in for Coach Sheehan on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Back in a moment. I found it. I wait to find out the creativity of Denton Day. You can tell he's done some DJing. It's in his background. I'm not saying that was his number one goal in life, but he can check that box and say, been there and done that. You would have picked 3 players on the Commanders, and they cannot be returners of the new breed. 3 guys that you expect to be impact contributors. I want you to think about those 3 guys. Who you think those 3 guys are? All they have to do if not have been here last year, of the new breed. What 3 guys are going to be fundamental? I mean, guys that stir the drink, that push this new movement, because this is like a movement. Because there's nothing really to hang on to the past. This is a new movement.
Yeah.
You know, and to get that done, you got to have people that aren't held back by the past. The past means nothing to them. They're strictly in this thing now to reestablish, to establish who they are, and to take this ship in a different direction. We've been hanging around doing the same old stuff, saying the same old things way too long. That's what I like this newness represents. You can be fooled by it, and we certainly have been. I just don't sense that now. And now if we get beat 45-0 against Tampa, you and I will both look at each other with a confused look. Because that will have jumped up on us. You know, I don't foresee that. I'm not saying they're going to win 10, 12 games or all that. Because to do that, you got to win 1 in September. And that's not a gimme. You follow me? That is not a gimme. So, and there's always got to be that one person that really goes beyond the call, that does something really, really strong to move us in that direction. Alpha. Somebody that's just solid as a rock. And I'm feeling that, but I can't pinpoint it yet because, again, I haven't seen him. And I got to see him in Full Metal Jacket. And I don't know if we're going to see that in the first preseason game. I honestly don't. Scrimmage is controlled and all that'll be good, but I think the one test that we could not accept a failure on was Brandon Coleman. Even the limited things we've seen or heard about, had he been whiff blocking and people running over him, I'd be devastated. Because I think we may not admit it, but this is the dude we're really hoping is that guy. That will mess a sigh of relief. Because the better you protect 5, the better 5's going to perform for you. That's pretty basic, but I got to say it. Every group needs a sludge hammer. You got Sam Cosmi on that offensive line. It's not a guarantee now, but this dude is real. He's a rough rider. We finally have another one, like Trent, like all. This dude's a rough rider. We got one. But we need three. So the next is going to be who's next to step up, and that, A, can't do it if you got to be healthy. And you also have to have the abilities that are there. Then the schemes come in and how they call plays. All of this matters. We left our left tackle on the island. That was our fault. He never said, hey, I'm Trent Williams. He said he was who he is. And we didn't listen to it. So it's not just the player. It's the player and the scheme. They have to work together. Down and distance is everything. As good as I think five is going to be, put them in a whole bunch of third and nines and third and eights, third and sevens, as opposed to third and two, third and one. You get my drift? Field position matters. So if we got the best punter in the league, all I'm saying is that all these things have got to come together for us. Special teams first. Because we're back to playing the field position game. We have got to win the field position game. We cannot put our people in a bad situation. Does it make sense, Denton? I want to make sure it's getting through.
It makes a ton of sense.
Because I'm just telling you, otherwise, no matter what we say, it's not going to work. This is the way it works. We got to make less mistakes than our opponent. We can't be inexperienced and dumb. We got to be really smart and inexperienced. So in order to make this thing work, having been on teams that it worked on, this is what it looks like. It's not exciting. It's methodical. But it gets you the results. And then you got to have a star. And this is where I go back to how you opened up when you started talking about De'Ami Brown. If we don't have James Arthur Monk, you don't get these things. You don't win without great players. Let me repeat myself. I don't care who you got drawing all them circles and all that. Hell, I could draw the circles. But if I'm the guy out there at wide receiver, we ain't winning nothing. You ain't going to be in no big games. So it takes great players, great plans, and total team efforts. So when you mentioned De'Ami Brown, I knew what you meant. And when we talk about scary, man, I'll go to war with this brother. I know we got some people, Ayuk is out there, a lot of people out there. But it takes a special kind of person to be really good at what they do and you still win. A lot of guys are just into stats. James Arthur Monk blocked. He did everything and never said a word about it. And it don't mean because he don't say a word about it that he's better than the guy that says a lot about it. It doesn't. Because I'll take Gary Clark anywhere I go. I ain't leaving home without him. Warrior. Blocked. And why I keep saying blocked is because receivers that don't block, you ain't winning. Not only are they guys that make plays for you on third downs and distance, but they get so many key blocks because if they get their man down, the guy scores. So it matters. It matters. And all the great ones and all the championship teams have all been here. They all did it. You think Terry won't? Of course. So you got to have an alpha. You got one. And we got guys like, well, what's Jahan, what's he going to do? Well, what they put him in position to do. What does he go take? Luke McCaffrey. All you hear, dependable. You can't win with a dude that ain't dependable. Where does that dependability come in question? Third down. We got to keep drives alive. You know why we got the best punter in the game? You know why? Can we punt all the damn time? I love the way we do this, but I don't want to do it as often as we do it. Do you? Heck no. Get more first downs. Hell, I played with the MVP of the league. He was a place kicker, Mark Mosley. So we done had him all over across the board. Scoring points. If your field goal kicker is the MVP, what does that say about your offense? It means we stalled. We failed. He bailed us out. You get it? It all works in tandem. But putting him in a position to get three, we'll take it. Good teams score on almost every possession possible. If you want to keep it real. All right? Lecture's over. Time to step aside and get educated. Once again, we come back. Don't forget, we're getting closer and closer. Ronaldo Nehemiah, flat out baller, joins us.
Nats lose to the San Francisco Giants 4-1. Patrick Corbin credited with the loss yesterday. He pitched six innings and allowed four runs on seven hits and struck out six. They square off again tonight at Nats Park, 6:45. You can hear it on 106.7 The Fan. Chicago White Sox have lost their 21st game in a row, a ties an AL record. They are awful. According to multiple reports across the NFL, Brandon Ayuk is being allowed to seek out and potential contract extension, and a trade partner to get him out of San Francisco. The Browns and Patriots have inquired heavily, so much as that they put forth packages, whereas both the Commanders and Steelers have stepped away from the gambling table. Also in the NFL, stop me if you've heard this one before, a fight at the Giants-Lions joint practice. Day two of that practice, more fights, more punches being thrown. I love it when we're not the dumb team in the NFC East anymore. Team USA men's basketball in action today at Brazil, against Brazil, rather, at 3:30. And you got a bunch of track action. Sydney McLaughlin, Laverne going to be running in the 400-meter hurdles, second heat of that one. And then you got the gold medal final in the women's 200-meter. Gabby Thomas, the favorite to take it home of the USA. And that's what's trending.
Denton Day on Vibes. We're talking winning and losing and what it takes to build a championship program. And we are right now ground floor of this. These are really special times. And I'm glad we have the equipment now and everything to track and keep all of this, because Coach Gibbs' first year, you know, we lost five in a row. And that's why I always caution people. I go, when you're in the midst of a five-game losing streak, you don't realize that that's going to end up being, you're going to win 8 out of 11 and then end up going winning 11 in a row or 12 out of 14. You don't know what's down the road. But when you are a part of that, you start saying, okay, here's what I remember. And I remember that even when we lost games, Joe didn't punish. He didn't make practices longer, which told us he believed in what he was doing and what we were doing. We just needed to do it better. That makes sense?
Total
sense. If a coach says, I want you to do 30, we're going to go longer. That means that he's showing me he's questioning his approach. That's how I looked at it. The fact that he didn't increase, we were already maxing out. So that told us there's no way we could have worked harder. So we weren't cheating ourselves there. He was making the right adjustments. We just weren't good enough at that time to get it done. And then you win that game in Chicago after having a one-yard punt, having a kickoff return all the way back against us for about damn near 100 yards, and yet you win the game. And from what I believe, is because we never got treats until we won. I really believe in this. When we won, man, it was unbelievable. I still thank the Anheuser-Busch people, all these people, every time I see them. Because when we won, you could tell there was a difference. They brought out food. We ate it. It was like they treated you like what you deserve to be, a king. When you lost, you got nothing. Nothing extra. It was just normal. And you begin to understand, I don't like this. I don't like it when they don't bring out the food and the feast and the festivities. And so that's why I've never been into this new program, how everybody treats everybody. They got, you know, Gordon, whoever the chef, they got all these people. And they get it all the time, no matter what. And I don't believe in that because of how I was brought up in a program. You start believing that, well, hey, we got to go earn this. And then you do it and you are rewarded. Now, you can come back and say that's old-fashioned, stick in the mud, old school. Okay, good, because I'm never going to change from it because I had results. We saw the results from it. And so, but with this group, they remind me of that time. Like Dan Riley, our strength and conditioning coach, was a certified nut. You got to have lunatics around you. Or you're never going to win. When I look at their energy, what they have now, man, I remember what that's like. I go, okay. Now, does that mean they'll win? Remember, we're in 0-5. But the other thing I remember is that our fan base never, ever, ever gave up on us. We came back a couple of them road trips. People were still out at the airport, packed. Still at the park and packed. And we lost. Nowadays, they come in and they take over your stadium. You don't even have any clout within the league. People come up, hey, man, where you going this weekend? We're going to take over FedEx. See, that's this. And I ain't mad at you. I'm just calling it straight. You want to get B. Mitch in the Hall of Fame? You want to get Jacoby in the Hall of Fame? You got to first start out by owning your stadium. And it's not on your fault, and I'm not blaming you. I'm just telling you what facts are. You're not the first fan base that had to deal with losing. We've all gone through it. But we didn't stay stuck on it. And that's what I see now. I sense that we're at the tip of the spear. It's going to be about change. And we will get what we deserve if we go out and take it from somebody else. Ain't nobody going to give it to us. That's what I think. Well, we'll go to a more happier note now because that's barbaric, and I apologize for those of you that are just simply into wagering and fantasy. I apologize for that, but for those of us that live off the thirst of the blood of the opponent, sometimes it just has to be this way. Now, we'll refrain back to regular programming, and we'll talk some Olympics with Ronaldo Nehemiah. As Coach would say, simply one of the best. Stay with us. Denton Day on Vibes. We're talking winning and losing and what it takes to build a championship program. And we are right now ground floor of this. These are really special times. And I'm glad we have the equipment now and everything to track and keep all of this, because Coach Gibbs' first year, you know, we lost 5 in a row. And that's why I always caution people. I go, when you're in the midst of a 5-game losing streak, you don't realize that that's going to end up being, you're going to win 8 out of 11 and then end up going winning 11 in a row or 12 out of 14. you don't know what's down the road, but when you are a part of that, you start saying, okay, here's what I remember. And I remember that even when we lost games, Joe didn't punish. He didn't make practices longer, which told us he believed in what he was doing and what we were doing. We just needed to do it better. That makes sense?
Total
sense. If a coach says, I want you to do 30, we're going to go longer, that means that he's showing me he's questioning his approach. That's how I looked at it. The fact that he didn't increase, we were already maxing out. So that told us there's no way we could have worked harder. So we weren't cheating ourselves there. He was making the right adjustments. We just weren't good enough at that time to get it done. And then you win that game in Chicago after having a one-yard punt, having a kickoff return all the way back against us for about damn near 100 yards, and yet you win the game. And from what I believe is because we never got treats until we won. I really believe in this. When we won, man, it was unbelievable. I still thank the Anheuser-Busch people, all these people, every time I see them. Because when we won, you could tell there was a difference. They brought out food. We ate it. It was like they treated you like what you deserve to be, a king. When you lost, you got nothing. Nothing extra. It was just normal. And you begin to understand, I don't like this. I don't like it when they don't bring out the food and the feast and the festivities. And so that's why I've never been into this new program, how everybody treats everybody. They got, you know, Gordon, whoever the chef, they got all these people. And they get it all the time, no matter what. And I don't believe in that because of how I was brought up in a program. You start believing that, well, hey, we got to go earn this. And then you do it and you're rewarded. Now, you can come back and say that's old-fashioned, stick in the mud, old school. Okay, good, because I'm never going to change from it because I had results. We saw the results from it. And so, but with this group, they remind me of that time. Like Dan Riley, our strength and conditioning coach, was a certified nut. You got to have lunatics around you, or you're never going to win. When I look at their energy, what they have now, man, I remember what that's like. I go, okay. Now, does that mean they'll win? Remember, we're an 0-5. But the other thing I remember is that our fan base never, ever, ever gave up on us. We came back a couple of them road trips. People were still out at the airport, packed. Still at the park and packed. And we lost. Nowadays, they come in and they take over your stadium. You don't even have any clout within the league. People come up, hey, man, where you going this weekend? We're going to take over FedEx. See, that's this. And I ain't mad at you. I'm just calling it straight. You want to get B. Mitch in the Hall of Fame? You want to get Jacoby in the Hall of Fame? You got to first start out by owning your stadium. And it's not on your fault, and I'm not blaming you. I'm just telling you what facts are. You're not the first fan base that had to deal with losing. We've all gone through it. But we didn't stay stuck on it. And that's what I see now. I sense that we're at the tip of the spear. It's going to be about change. And we will get what we deserve if we go out and take it from somebody else. Ain't nobody going to give it to us. That's what I think. Well, we'll go to a more happier note now because that's barbaric, and I apologize for those of you that are just simply into wagering and fantasy. I apologize for that. But for those of us that live off the thirst of the blood of the opponent, sometimes it just has to be this way. Now, we'll refrain back to regular programming, and we'll talk some Olympics with Ronaldo Nehemiah. As Coach would say, simply one of the best. Stay with us.